Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We're delighted that you're in the house of the Lord today as we continue on with our series 2022, The Year of the Miraculous. Now, we established early on in this series that it is often in the midst of what seems to be impossible situations that God shows up and performs the miraculous. You know, the Bible is filled, if you're looking for them, is filled with these kind of examples. Abraham and Sarah, 90 years of age and 100, having a child. What about Moses and Aaron, the many, many miracles in their lives? Or the children of Israel for 40 long years in the wilderness, God providing for them both food and water, quail when they were hungry for meat, and the list goes on and on of God's protection and miraculous intervention in the lives of the Israelites. Or what about Joseph? From the pit, he is taken to the prison, from the prison to the palace, and he becomes second in command over all of Egypt. Or what about Daniel? He's thrown into the lion's den, and God shows up, and the miraculous takes place, and the lion's mouths are shut. Or what about Queen Esther? She was at just the right place, the right time, and the protection from Haman's evil plot to destroy the Jews. Once again, God's divine intervention. Or what about the feeding of the 5,000 we read about in the New Testament? Or the lame man at the pool of Bethesda? Or Paul and Silas while they're in jail, when God sent literally the shaking of the earth to open the doors of the jail? He did the same for Peter on another occasion. Or the Apostle John while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Now, we said that King David experienced the miraculous intervention of God time and time again. And it is here in Psalm 23 that David shares how he positioned himself mentally and spiritually to live daily in the realm of the miraculous. Let's take a look at it once again in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, starting with verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff do comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, this morning, we're going to focus on just one of these verses, and that being verse 4. Somebody caught me 2 weeks ago out in the foyer and said to me, "You know, at the rate that you're going, we're going to be in Psalm 23 for a long, long time." Well, we're going to put it in hyperspeed here. We've got two more Sundays of this series. And then I sense God leading me into a series. We're going to talk about where are we at prophetically. What does the Bible have to say about the hour and the time in which we're living? And so that'll be our next upcoming series. But I believe that God's got much for us yet in these next 2 weeks upcoming as we close out this series out of Psalm 23. Now, Psalm 23 and verse 4 is our focus today, which says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me." You know, operating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David was a master at setting up comparisons. As you read through the Psalms, you'll find the Psalms are set up on comparisons. David is comparing a good day with a bad day, with a good king with a bad king, all of these things back and forth, back and forth. He is showing us so much, and he's doing so by comparison. Let me show you what I mean. Now, in verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 23, which we've already gone through, Pastor John walked us through verses 2 and 3 last week, but listen what it says. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, we're going to pause there. What he has said thus far in this psalm is the Lord is Jehovah God, the covenant-keeping God, the one that has always been, he will always be, and he will keep every promise he's made to you. The Lord is. But then he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He shares with us the relationship that he has with the Lord God, and that being the Lord is his shepherd, shepherding his life. Therefore, he says, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures alongside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me. Now, when you look at that, and if you were to put that together in a list of being lying down, green pastures, still water, restoring our soul, leading us on, all of that, that is a picture of a life that is idyllic, which is a life that is good. Here we find restful, it's peaceful, it's calm. There's not a problem in the world. The sheep are grazing in verses 1, 2, and 3. They're grazing in safety. There's plenty to eat, and there's a lot to drink. I kind of liken it unto a day at Disney World. You know, how many like going to Disney? Let me see your hands. Now, there's a bunch of you. And, you know, when you get to Disney, they say Disney is the happiest place on earth. It's really, it's a world, and they call it Disney World. Of course, there's Disneyland as well. But there's a world within a world. And when you step through those gates and you begin to walk down Main Street, USA, there at Disney World, you'll discover that, you know, all the pressing thing of work and all of the things that could be done, should be done, they're left to the side for a moment. Mickey bars. Oh, if you haven't had a Mickey bar, you've got to have one someday. They're some of the best chocolate over a bar that's shaped in the shape of Mickey's head. And Mickey bars every hour on the hour. Then to go over to the Crystal Palace for a buffet for lunch. And by that time, you're feeling just in need of a nap. And that's a good time to go to the Carousel of Progress. I've discovered that's the best thing to do in there is to take a little nap. And you take a spin around, and by the time it's all done, you're right back at where you started, and you've had a little rest. But then in the back of your mind, while you're enjoying the Mickey bars, the buffets, the rides, the sights, the sound, having left all your worries behind, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, boy, tomorrow I've got to go back home. It's 8 degrees in the morning. It's now sack lunches and not buffets. And that ever-increasing demand at my job. In other words, it's back to real life. Now, with that in mind, with back to real life, and that things are not always living in Disney, listen once again what he says here in verse 4. Remember, he makes comparisons. The first comparison was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures beside the still waters. He restores our soul. It's all good. But listen what he says now in verse 4, the comparison. Yea, or therefore, because I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, friends, David was a realist. And being a realist, he understood and proclaims to all of us that life isn't always green grass and still waters. Sometimes life is right down scary. The entire journey of life, many times, and I would even add most times, include for at least a season, the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I want you to compare, once again, the green pastures, still waters, plenty to eat, all of that, with what the Bible is calling the valley of the shadow of death. Now, most Bible scholars believe what David is referring to here is the Wadi Kelt, which was a deep gorge in the Judean wilderness. David is now speaking of a journey that is far from green grass and still waters. I want you to look at this next picture, for this picture is the wilderness of Judea. The land itself is hostile. There is no water to be found. As you go through this mountain ridge, you'll discover it's a hostile place for any would-be traveler. Now, the literal physical valley of the shadow of death, which there is, this is not just a spiritual land. This is a real place that you can visit in Israel today. And I've taken groups there time and time again. This valley of the shadow of death is located right in the midst of this desolate mountain range that I showed you just a few moments ago. The valley extends all the way from Jerusalem, all the way to Jericho. And for many centuries, this particular valley, this valley of the shadow of death, has been the traveler's route between the city of Jerusalem and Jericho. In this valley, you'll discover that there are many natural caves, places where thugs and thieves that have been running from the law have been hiding out. And it was a very dangerous place to go through. Jesus referenced the same valley when he is speaking in Luke chapter 10 of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember the Good Samaritan. He finds a man that had been on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. And what happens to him? He has been beaten, he has been robbed, and left for dead. It's in the same valley. This valley that is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. This Valley of the Shadow of Death literally speaks of a place of black gloom. If you look it up in the Hebrew would literally say, through the valley of dark or black gloom. Another translation would say, in deep darkness. Another would say, thick darkness. And therefore, the Bible calls it the Valley of the Shadow of Death. There's a valley, there's a ravine. It's called a hollow in our part of the country where I grew up in the Dakotas. And it was called Sechi Hollow. It was a deep ravine, much like this one. It's now a state park, but its name is very insightful. Sechi Hollow, which comes from the Sioux or the Dakota language, which means evil or bad. It's a bad valley. It's a bad place. Now, I'm not sure how it ever got its name, this one in South Dakota, but this one that is in Israel gets its name from all the thuggery, the thieves, and murder, and all that took place in this very dark, gloomy place. At one time or another, friends, I believe that all of us have gone through that dark and trying time. We've gone through that valley. But I want you to notice now how David speaks of such times in his life, and he speaks of it as going through, not staying in the valley, but I've come to the valley and I'm walking through that valley, that place of gloom, that place of anxiety, that place of suffering, that place of uncertainty, all that goes along with it. Notice now how David speaks about such a time in his life. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What he is saying here is I'm going through this valley. I'm not going to bed down. I'm not planning to stay here. Now, we need to understand life is a journey. And in this journey, there are some days that we're in the green pastures alongside still waters. And other times we're facing floods and fires and we're going through what seems to be the impossible. But David says, I am passing through. He says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is a shadow, friends. Remember, he says the shadow of death. Shadows cannot hurt us. A shadow of a dog cannot bite us. The shadow of a sword cannot kill us. The shadow of death, as believers and followers in Jesus Christ, cannot destroy us. Friends, I remind you once again this morning that Jesus, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says he has driven away all of its gloom. So now when we walk through the valley, It's no longer a place of mere darkness, but we know that there's a light at the end, and that is our Savior, and our Savior is beckoning us on, saying, don't stop along the road. Don't stop in the journey. Keep on moving. No matter how bad it seems, you keep on keeping on. I read a story the other day about some children in a small African village that had been harassed by this roaming lion for quite some time. One day, while the lion was roaming in the village and everyone was hiding inside of their huts, the men of the village, they got the courage to get up, go out, and they killed that lion. The children that had been terrorized by this lion for such a long time then gathered all around the lion, laying dead in the middle of the village street, and they sang songs of victory as they plucked the beard from that lion and shaved its mane and took them home as mementos of their victory. Friends, once again, you need to know and remember and remind yourself when you're in that place, when it seems like hell has the upper hand, when it seems like darkness is choking, when it seems as though anxiety is keeping you awake at night, ruining your sleep in the evening, and then tired all day, weary from the night before, I remind you that Satan, sin, death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. And as a result of that, that's something to praise God about. And David says, knowing this, I will fear no evil. Though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, though I'm no longer alongside the quiet rivers, drinking and eating of green grass, though I'm in a hard and difficult place, I will fear no evil. I will not be paralyzed by fear, is what the original Hebrew has to say. Do you realize when a person becomes absolutely so afraid, they're actually paralyzed for a moment? And that paralyzing effect can last on and on and on, where some people stop the journey and they never make it to the end of the valley. David said, I will fear no evil. I will not be paralyzed by fear. And that word evil there is an interesting one. It is not in this particular case speaking of sin, though sin is certainly evil. In this case, when he talks about evil, he's talking about all things that are bad, which includes, of course, sin. But he is speaking of things like a pandemic. He is speaking of bad things, evil things, like sickness, like crime, like death, inflation, the threat of war. The sabers are rattling even yet this morning as Russia stands on three of the very, borders over, the Ukraine. A few days ago, North Korea said, we have the capability and we're soon to prove it. We're going to send a missile. It won't be one that has a warhead on, but we're going to send a missile into the middle of the United States to remind you not to mess with us. So we live in a world that's filled with, you name it. I read an article yesterday, and the article says, by the year 2030, only just, 8 years from now, they say something catastrophic is happening as it relates to the moon, and it's going to destroy all life on planet Earth. Well, isn't that good news? One wants to blow us up. Another one wants to blow us away, and the moon wants to kill us all. Sometimes you find yourself, whether it's in a circumstance as crazy as those things and as global as those things are, you find yourself in your own personal valley of the shadow of death. But David said, I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on, I am on a journey, and I'm going to keep my feet aim towards the goal, and I'm going to walk this path until I get home. Then he said, as a result of that, I will not fear any evil. And he says why he believes that he can live this way. And he encourages us to do the same. He says, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. The good shepherd is with us, friends, and he is Emmanuel. Remember what Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 said, 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, he said, here's some indicators. You'll know that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The God of heaven came down to earth so that he might give his life for us, bring us and break us forth from the power of sin over our lives, that we might have life and have it abundantly and eternal. And he gave himself to that cause and to that end. And now he lives within us. Emmanuel, greater is he that is in us than he that is within the world. Emmanuel, thou art with me. Whenever I read that portion of scripture, I always think my father was one that loved to go out for walks, and especially at night. And he would take his kids because he would work from early morning until late at night. And having 11 children, you can imagine all the responsibilities, not only in a major corporation, but also for his family. And in the midst of all of that, we'd go out and walk many times at night. And I have to tell you, whenever my father was there, I never felt fear for a moment. I always felt, my father, you know, as a child, was always bigger than life. He was always stronger and smarter and, you know, all of these things. And thank God that is the way that, you know, many times as children especially, we view our parents. But I never feared when my father was there. Friend, you don't have to fear because your father is there. The good shepherd is going to lead you, guide you. Emmanuel, God is with us. Now, I want you to see how this plays out. I want you to see this is not merely rhetoric. David literally lived his life out with these as the foundation for his thinking and for his heart and his spirit, actions in life. Turn with me to Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, just four chapters after Psalm 23, where he lays out this comparison, still waters, everything nice, Disneyland, now back home, Milwaukee, 8 degrees, back to work, no more buffets, no more Mickeys. Listen to what he says. The Lord is my light. Remember, the valley is the valley of dark gloom. He said, here's how I live my life out. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Not only spiritual salvation, the word salvation literally means to take away from danger and harm and bring to a place of safety. And so the Lord is my light in the midst of the darkness that surrounds me, and he's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Tell me, whom should I fear, David is asking. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me, to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. He is outright saying, if you come after me, I'm a child of God following after the good shepherd. I'll tell you, you come after me, you're the one that's going down, not me. Then he goes on to verse 3. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, think about it. He is saying, I'm outnumbered to the point that an army's around me. And he says, I will not fear. Here we go, one more time. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. And it was not a confidence in himself, but in the shepherd that was leading him. Now look at verse 4 one more time. We'll come back to it. Yea, another translation says, moreover. Another translation, if you're reading the NIV, says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Notice now, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice that phrase there, thy rod and thy staff, It's not one, but it's two. For a lot of years, I read this and I thought, okay, his rod and staff, it's one and the same. That's what it is. It is not. Matter of fact, the verbiage that is used here absolutely disproves that. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they, plural, they comfort me. Now, the rod and staff were the two main tools of the shepherd. The rod was a club. It was a club to protect the sheep. With the club, any oncoming predator would be killed, at least driven away. It was the club or the rod. In this case, what I did is I stole my kid's wiffle ball bat. I'll give it back. Now it's my grandkids. But anything that would try to harm, David is saying, as I'm making my way through this valley called the valley of the shadow of death, where evil is everywhere, he said, I will not fear. Number one, I don't have to fear because I know the shepherd is with me and he will not leave me nor will he forsake me. But I also know he carries the club, and he carries the club not to beat the sheep, but to protect and defend the sheep against the predators. Friend, I want you to know when the enemy comes your way and he says, I'm going to steal your children, the devil, you're going to beat him. When he comes and says, I'm going to take your mind, you take that. When he wants to come after your finances, your home, your all the things that are precious and wanted in your life that the enemy wants to rob away, to steal away, in the midst of it all, he carries a club. And our God is a God of justice. And friend, I believe there's coming a day where you're going to see the club. You're going to see those that have risen up and said that they can trample and poke their finger in the eye of God. Going to get a good one right on the noggin. So the first of the two was a defensive weapon. It was a defensive tool that every one of the shepherds had. But there's a second piece to all of this, and that is the staff. Now, the staff, on the other hand, was offensive. It led the way. As a shepherd would go out into these unknown places and difficult places, many times if you saw the Craig, very difficult terrain that they would have to transverse during that time as shepherds, you know, many times they just need something to stable themselves, and maybe at times even something to kind of help get over a small, you know, thing that was in the way. And so they had the staff. This was offensive. The other was defensive, protecting the sheep. This led the sheep. Matter of fact, as you read through the scriptures, so you'll discover there's another name for this. Another name in history for this would be what a king would have, and it would be their scepter. And the scepter represented the kingdom, and whoever has the scepter has the right to rule. Friend, I remind you this morning that we are following just not any old shepherd. We're following after the one that is the King of Kings and the Lord over all lords. And he is leading the way. Notice what he says now. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff and the presence of the Almighty, they comfort me. You know what that word comfort is in the original language? It's very fascinating. The word comfort there literally means to sigh. Have you ever heard of a sigh of relief? Have you ever been to a hospital room when things have been teetering back and forth between life and death? And the doctor says, boy, they turned the corner last night. Walking through a valley of anxiety, worry and fret. The enemies come after you in a thousand different ways, and against your kids and grandkids, and against your mind, your sleep, your finances. The enemy has just been pounding you. He said, I will not worry. I'm not going to fret this. I have a comforter that's with me. And the comforter will see me through. I'm not sure where you're at this morning. Maybe you're in one of those places where you just need to hear the voice of the Lord say, I've got this. I'm leading you. I'm directing you. It's going to be okay. You're not stuck in the valley. I'm leading you on. I'm taking you forward. Eddie, would you come here for a moment, please? Eddie Paez. Eddie's our MIT, he's our minister in training. We're proud of you. I want you to pretend like we're going on the life's journey. And on the way, I'm going to stop by and get my club, all right? Okay. So we're on this journey called the journey of life. Eddie's not alone. The shepherd is leading the way. And every time, it's like whack a demon. One of my favorite games, by the way. So sometimes he's got to use the club to protect you, protect your family, your wife, your children. He says this on the journey. We're surrounded by uncertainties, surrounded by what the Bible says is darkness. We're trying to find our way. It's in this valley. We're no longer around a green, you know, pasture with lots of water. I mean, we're going through a really dark and difficult and scary place. But I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. And the good shepherd along the journey says what he says in Isaiah chapter 43. Fear not, Eddie. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. When you go through that dark, deep water that's in front of you, there's no other way to keep on the path. You're going to have to go through it. You're not going to drown. I'm going into the water with you. And when you come out of the water, he said, we might face fire. But he said, in the fire, you're not going to be burned. I'm with you and I'm for you. Sometimes it's the club to protect you. Other times, it's the good shepherd just using his guidance through the staff, leading you, guiding your life. I wouldn't want to live 1 minute in this crazy world we're living in without the good shepherd. I wouldn't live a minute, let alone a day or a lifetime. Thank you, Eddie. Possibly you've been harassed by depression, by anxiety and worry and fear, the shadow of death. And you find yourself this morning in this dark gloom that the Bible talks about. I want you to know the Good Shepherd is wanting to lead you on. He wants to guide you. He wants to be your helper. He wants to lead you to life that is eternal. I want you to bow your heads. Father, Lord, we're so grateful that you love us so much, that you're willing to come from heaven above to this earth below, to seek and to save the lost. You've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You've come to show us the way, to be our light, like David said, in the midst of that valley of darkness, that you would be our protector. Your rod would give us confidence that no matter what we face, anytime, anywhere, any time of day, that you'd be with us, protecting us. And the staff reminds us that you know the way. You know those that are yours. You watch and you carefully guide each one of us. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there be any that have never accepted you as the good shepherd of their life, Lord, I pray that they would have the good sense to hear the voice of the good shepherd saying, come, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul and for your spirit, for your mind, for your body. And for others of you, he's saying, you got to get back into the race. You need to get moving. You've kind of hunkered down and you've become discouraged and you've given up on God, the Word. And you're just kind of floundering around in life. God is saying, today's the day for you to get moving again. Lord, I pray for those that the darkness of depression, anxiety, and worry, and fret, and Lord, all the things that go along with it, weary nights and long, hard days. I pray, oh God, that this would be the turnaround this morning. If you're in this house today and you're saying, Pastor, I'm in that valley. I've not stopped. I'm moving. But I need a little encouragement to keep on keeping on. And if you're in the house today and you say, you know, I've never really given my life to Christ. I know that I should. I intend to do so one day. But in the interim period of time, you're playing Russian roulette. You never know. Your life, the Bible says, is but a vapor. It's here for a moment and then it's suddenly gone. And when it's gone from here, it is not just gone. It's gone to the destination of your determination. And today you're saying, you know, I want to get right with God. I need help. I'm in a moment where I could go several different directions and I need to hear the voice of the good shepherd say, this is the way, follow you in it. And this morning, if that's you, as they begin to sing, I want you to come. I want to pray over you as a group this morning, that God will guide you, direct you, bless you, that the anxiety will be gone, the fears will be gone, that the confidence will be there, and there would be this comfort from the Holy Spirit. You come, if that's you this morning, as they sing.